The Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Sheldon, Jr. speaking. We count the privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Psalm 40, beginning in verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet up upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor turn aside to lies. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we need Thee in this hour. We trust Thee to take Thy Word home to each and every heart. Give us a mind and a heart to know Thy truth and Thy way, and fill us with Thy Spirit that we may speak in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, and that Thy Word will sink down deep into our hearts, for it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Oh, that's in the name.
We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. We're happy that you're with us today, dear friend, and certainly pray that the blessings of our gracious Lord will rest upon you, and that God will give us hearing ears and seeing eyes. Our hearts will be open to the truth of God's eternal Word as we endeavor to preach it by the grace of God today. You'll want a copy of these messages that we're delivering under the general theme, Decision for Christ, What Does It Mean? This is the 13th in a series, and there'll be one more, the Lord willing, after this one. Do you write for them, and we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. We are led of the Holy Spirit to continue our messages today on the warnings of Scripture concerning false profession of and false decision for the Lord Jesus Christ under our general theme of decision for Christ. What does it mean? In the past weeks, we have been discussing with you the parable of our Lord found in Matthew 25, 1 through 13, concerning the five wise and the five foolish virgins. We have showed you that our blessed Lord teaches us here in this parable that false profession, false hope, a false decision can be deadly. He states that a man can be deceived and all of his hopes be empty, vain, and rotten. He shows us here that a person can make a profession, be waiting for the coming of the Lord, look like a Christian, act like a Christian, profess to be a Christian, and yet miss heaven at last because his hope is not that good hope through grace. And it is upon this good hope through grace that we have been speaking to you the last weeks, showing you that there are seven marks that show and prove that a true child of God, like one of these wise virgins, has a good hope, and this hope is based upon the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. We showed you, first of all, that a good hope through grace is one that can be explained. Second, a good hope through grace is one that is scriptural. Third, a good hope through grace is one that is built upon Christ and Him alone. Fourth, a good hope through grace is one that has made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Fifth, a good hope through grace is one that has given you a hatred for sin. Sixth, a good hope through grace is one that has led you to repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Seventh, a good hope through grace is one that is sanctifying your life. We have spoken to the first five, and today I would like to speak to the sixth and seventh, the Lord willing, combining them together and showing you that a good hope through grace is one that leads to repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ and is one that is sanctifying your entire life. You see, these twins of grace, repentance and faith, are never separated, and they lead to a life of sanctification. They grow in the same soil of grace, or fruits from the same tree of grace, and abide in the heart of the redeemed man by the grace of God. Dear friend, the man who has a good hope through grace repents and believes his whole lifetime through. It's not a one-time act. It is with him until God takes him home. His attitude toward sin is one of hatred. His attitude toward the world and self and sin is one of hatred. He sorrows over his sin and lack of conformity to Christ. He sorrows over his sin nature and his wicked, evil heart. Yet he continues to go outside of himself to Christ for all that he needs. He finds in himself nothing but sin and failure, but he finds in Christ the perfect substitute for his never-dying soul. With one breath he cries, O wretched man that I am, Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And with the next breath, he praises God, saying, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, that I have been delivered. Yes, in repentance, a man gets on God's side against himself and his sin. He acknowledges that God would be just in sending him to hell because he has rebelled against the law and the government and the rulership of the sovereign God. In repentance, he takes God's side against himself and against his sin. Yet in true saving faith, the same man goes outside of himself to Christ and finds in Christ a complete Savior and a complete deliverer for his never-dying soul. Now, my dear friend, so that we will understand whether we have this good hope through grace in that we have truly repented and turned unto God in true saving faith, and our soul is being sanctified by the grace of God in our life, let us look and see some marks or fruits of true repentance. And let's deal with this thing definitely and positively to let us see what true repentance is by the fruits that it produces. Will you listen? First, the fruits of true repentance will be seen in our lives by a real hatred for sin as sin and not merely for its consequences. A hatred not only of this or that sin, but of all sin, particular of the root itself, which is self-will. This we must repent of. It will show itself as we read in Ezekiel 14:6. Thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourself from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. And to do this with hatred for sin and a loathing of yourself, as set forth in Ezekiel 20:43. Ye shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that you have committed. So the very first fruit is a real hatred for sin as sin against God. This is the change of mind that God requires. Therefore I ask, do you and I have a hatred for sin in this manner? If not, then we have not brought forth the fruits of true repentance, and we do not have that good hope through grace. Second, the fruits of true repentance will be seen in a deep sorrow for sin. 2 Corinthians 7:9 and 10 reads, ye sorrowed to repentance, for you were made sorry after a godly manner, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. You see, such a sorrow is produced in the heart by the Holy Spirit. And this sorrow has God as its object. It consists of a grief for having despised such a holy God, for having rebelled against His authority, and for having been indifferent to God's glory. It was such a deep sorrow that caused Peter to go out and weep bitterly that over his sins of denying the Lord. And it is such a sorrow that causes us to weep bitterly over our sins because they have been against God. And beloved, this goes on in our lives until we get to glory. We're made to cry like David in Psalm 51, I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. Oh, my dear friend, only that sorrow for sin is genuine which causes us to crucify the flesh with the affections and lust and to follow God in Christ with our hearts. Have we sorrowed over sin being against God? If we have, then we have that good hope through grace. Third, the fruits of true repentance will be seen in a confession of sin. We read in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh him shall have mercy. Yes, there must be the fruit of confession of sin, confessing all and hiding nothing. Listen to me now. Dear friend, you and I both know that it is our nature to deny our sins directly or indirectly, to minimize or make excuses for them. But when the Holy Spirit works in our souls and our sins are brought to light, there must be an acknowledgement of them before God. You see, if repentance has been worked in our hearts, then there can be no relief for these stricken hearts of ours until we confess our sins and lay them bare before God. This is brought out in Psalms 32 in these words. The psalmist said, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed all through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." And beloved, I can tell you, I have experienced this even as God's child. When I do not come clean and come clear with God. You see, it is only the fruits of a frank and broken-hearted confession of sins that will bring us peace with God in Christ. This is the change of attitude God requires, which manifests through repentance. I ask you, dear friend, do you have this mark of true repentance, an honest confession before God, a laying bare of your heart before Him, not blaming anyone or any circumstances for your troubles and for your sins, but you, before God, honestly, take the blame before Him and lay bare your heart before Him. My friend, a man who does this has that good hope through grace, for he has learned by the convicting power of God's Holy Spirit that the only thing that God will accept from you and I is a laying bare, a telling it all, a saying it all before God. Look into God in Christ to have mercy upon us and cleanse us by His precious blood. Are you listening? Fourth, the fruits of true repentance will be seen in an actual turning from sin. Listen to me now. There are three Greek words used in the New Testament which represent different phases of repentance, and all three of them are seen in the life of the one who has actually turned from sin into repentance. Listen now. In Matthew 3:2, the word repent means a change of heart about sin. In Matthew 3:8 and Acts 20:21, it means a change of course or a change of life, an actual turning from sin to walk in it no more. I ask, have these three phases of repentance been worked in our hearts? Listen to me now. Has there been a change of mind about sin? Do we hate it? Has there been a change of heart about sin? Do our affections no longer go out after it? Has there been a change of course or a change of life in an actual turning from sin to walk in it no more? I tell you, we are living in a day of superficial religion brought about by easy believism. All you do is believe and walk down the aisle and give the preacher your hand and do the best that you can. But oh no, my friend, this is not it. There has to be a change of mind, a change of heart, and an actual change in our course of life for us to have true repentance. This is what God demands, and this is what God commands, and He gives us this by the work of His Spirit in our souls. Listen to Proverbs 28:13 again. "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." If I really hate sin and sorrow over it, then I will forsake it. I will take to heart Isaiah 55:7, which reads, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." This is the change of the course of our life that God requires. Listen to me now. I don't want you to be deceived. I want you to get this. The fruits of repentance will manifest themselves in the repenting believers, believing sinners' life by taking heed to the Word of God in fleeing fornication, fleeing from idolatry, that is, the worship of self and his own opinion, fleeing the love of money and all that it buys, fleeing youthful lusts. Watch it now, and it will also show itself in putting into practice the positive graces of following after righteousness, faith, love, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Oh, I pray that God is taking this home to our hearts, because this is the man that has a good hope through grace, who is showing in his life that he has actually repented because the fruits of repentance are being worked out in his life. Now, another mark of true repentance will be seen in the desire to put into practice the sixth mark of a good hope through grace, and that is one that is sanctifying our entire life. That is, the man desires to walk in righteousness and true holiness and be careful to maintain good works. This is another distinctive mark of true repentance, the good hope through grace, the desire to walk in a different way, a different course of life than we did before, which will manifest itself in our lives. In other words, because the power of sin has been broken in salvation, because the love of sin in our life has been taken away, we began to desire to put into practice the scriptures that teach us to walk in righteousness and true holiness. Read in Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. We desire to follow this peace all the days of our life. I said we desire to follow after this peace and this holiness all the days of our life, because God has given us a new heart and a new nature. You see, we read in Ephesians 1:4 that God's purpose in saving us was to make us holy. So we desire by the grace of God to be holy and separate from sin and self-will. Listen to me again. The man who has this good hope through grace, who is truly repented and is being sanctified in body, soul, and spirit, when he reads in 1 Thessalonians 4:7, that God's purpose in calling us was not that we should remain unclean, walking in sin and self-will, but to live in holiness, then there is that desire by the grace of God to walk worthy of this calling unto holiness. When we read in 1 Thessalonians 4:3 that the will of God for our lives is that we should be sanctified, so by the grace of God we desire to be separated from sin unto Christ. Yes, it is in this way that we know that the fruits of true repentance are being manifested in our life, and that we have this good hope through grace, and that we are being sanctified in body, soul, and spirit, because we desire to walk in righteousness and true holiness, and we are careful to maintain good works. I ask you, my friend, is it your desire to be like God in Christ? Is it your desire to be holy? This is the mark of true repentance, for where that repentance is worked in our hearts, we desire to walk as God would have us to walk. Are you listening? Again, we read in Titus 2:11-12, that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And our dear friend, this will be the desire of our heart. If we have this true repentance, and the fruits of true repentance are being manifested, and we are being sanctified, both body, soul, and spirit, for by the grace of God we will desire to put into practice the denying of ourselves ungodliness, all that is unlike God, and the worldly lust, and will seek to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present evil world. Dear friend, my cry is, O Lord, help me to understand Thy word and by Thy grace to walk in the way that is well-pleasing unto Thee. My prayer is like that of the psalmist in Psalm 25. Lord, show me Thy ways. Teach me Thy paths. Lead me in Thy truth. And teach me, for Thou art the God of my salvation. On Thee do I wait all the day long. Again, like the psalmist, we cry from the depths of our soul, whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none on earth that I desire beside Thee. So teach me Thy way. Lead me in plain paths, that I might follow Thee all the days of my life. Listen to me now. Last but not least, the fruits of true repentance will show itself in real faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I said, to save us and to sanctify us. True repentance cannot be separated from true saving faith. The two always go together. He who truly repents will truly believe. For the same Holy Spirit who gives us repentance to the acknowledging of our sinful conduct before God and gives us such a desire to confess and forsake it with a true godly sorrow will also by His grace give us true faith to turn our eyes upon yon lovely Lord who died in our place and to sanctify us and make us in the image and likeness of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Listen to me now. Repentance without faith would end in despair. It would send us into hell. But praise the Lord, our thrice holy God. He who gives repentance also gives saving faith. Through faith one finds in the Lord Jesus Christ in His shed blood the forgiveness of God for all of his sins. He finds a putting away and a washing away of all his sins. He finds in Christ a complete Savior who has undertaken for him before God. He finds in Christ peace because Christ has made peace by the blood of his cross. He finds in Christ hope, and hope is made not ashamed because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He finds in Christ all that God gives poor repenting, believing sinners, for he finds that he is complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he finds in the Lord Jesus that God has made unto us in Christ wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And we desire, because we find in Christ all that our poor soul needs, we desire to be made in his likeness. We cry after him. Yea, we weep after him. We want to be like him all the days of our life. My dear friend, I ask you the question, have you passed these seven marks? These marks of the good hope through grace? The one that can be explained? The one that is scriptural? The one that is built upon Christ and him alone? The one that has made us a new creature in Christ Jesus? The one that has given us a hatred for sin? The one that has led us to repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? The one that is sanctifying our life day by day by the grace of God through the Word and the working of the Holy Spirit in us? My friend, do we know anything about these marks? They are the marks of the good hope through grace and where God gives them. Praise God, there's no repentance with God. He does not take them away, but He increases them in our souls and causes these things to be worked in us day by day by His almighty grace through the Word, by the Spirit. You've listened. God's been in our midst. Do you want a copy of this message? We'd be happy to send it to you free and postpaid. Will you write us? Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.